Asma, are you okay?
Yes, thank God.
How's everything going?
Quite chaotic, but it's fine.
Still, we're surviving. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the spirit of a student.
Yes.
The orphan boy, who was called Al-Amin, the trustworthy, even before he spoke as a prophet. And his fragrance, when he walked in the streets, was actually getting everywhere. And not just the physical fragrance that attracted the entire humanity towards him, but it was the very aromatic and humanly aroma of this person to attract human beings to him. And we're talking about our dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So this is going to be the topic of our today's episode of Youth Station. And I guess this is very interesting to talk about a person who's been born centuries before.
Yes.
And still we feel the attachment to him.
And we still want to know more.
Yeah.
We still want to know how he went through all those, you know, extreme society problems. And yet he was very perfect.
You know, sometimes in our real ordinary life, we see some people who've got this magnetic character.
Yes.
And they attract everybody to themselves. And then we come to compare it to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and specifically to the prophet who is called the prophet of kindness.
Yes.
He's the prophet of all kindness to humankind. And he's the door, actually, to God's kindness as well. So, and then we come to compare to him and then realize that if these ordinary people could be this amazing, then what about that spiritually chosen person?
It's out of my imagination.
Exactly.
It's just, it's too beautiful, I can't imagine.
Exactly. It's always a very enchanting discussion for all the real believers. Mm-hmm. Whenever you talk about these things, you can see this feeling of, okay, I want to know more and I want to talk more about it. Because right now that we talk about fragrance, you know, it's very interesting that when you talk about all of his details, you feel like you need to talk more.
And you want to
dive into all of these details.
And this is very interesting that these all virtues were also valued back then when society had very chaotic and different from nowadays.
It was
norms.
Actually deviated
from
humanity, much less from religion. Just imagine at the time where people used to kill their daughters because she's going to bring like nothing for her family. Then there comes a human being that is actually the epitome of kindness. And then he changes the entire perspective of the people of his own era, who were a really difficult people. To have the opposite perspective.
And it is very interesting that sometimes people say that nowadays the society is going to the extremely, you know, wrong side and nobody, you know, values the virtues and righteous people. But I think that no matter how worse the situation goes, I think it's not going to be that different from back then. And no matter how hard or, you know, wrong the society is going, the values that God has given us is something in it and we can accept it.
And we have to practice it and we have to enrich it and reinforce it, not to let it go because the currents of society are not helping
me.
And I'm just actually swimming against it. So these are very important. And also the thing that I was... Okay, let me put it this way. What is the first thing that you remember whenever you talk about the Prophet?
Kindness. As you already mentioned, the first one, that is the kindness, rahmatulil alameen. Very beautiful.
It's very deep, you know. Our discussion is not going to convey what we are talking about because that is so deep. To be blessing for the entire humanity is beyond the grasp of language.
Indeed. And we also remember the time when people were very, very rude to him, yet he was very kind. When he could, you know, take revenge.
That's why he is called the beloved of God.
Indeed.
He is loved by God. And this is an honor for all the Muslims, I guess. We are proud of our Prophet because whatever he stands for, it is unique to him.
Indeed.
It is his singularity. Of course, we have, with all due respect for all the prophets, because yes, we all do believe that they are the succession that has to continue. And the last of them is our dear prophet, who is the beloved of God. Because of all the hardships he have been through, and because of all the blessings and kindness he brought to human being with his existence and the essence of his existence.
And I think the most beautiful part of it is that this, you know, trustworthiness was not just after he became prophet. This kindness, this character, this beautiful moral role model was role model from the very beginning.
As much as I hate to go for a break right now, but we have to go for it.
Sure.
And then we come back with the discussion of our dear prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
In that era, there were many people who did not like Prophet, obviously. He had many enemies, we know it.
All the prophets had.
Yes, they all had.
Like, nobody's going to be kind to goodness.
So true. The fact that they confessed and confirmed that Prophet was Al-Amin, trustworthy, is next level. See, if my friends come and tell you that Masuma is nice, then you're going to be like, yeah,
you can't trust her.
Yeah, but if my enemies, if I have any, they're going to come and say, yeah, Masuma is trustworthy. That is next level. Exactly. Your enemies are talking good about you.
Yeah, they confessing it, it's a real deal.
It's just something very perfect that we think, sometimes we think that this is not possible.
By the way, you're listening to Youth Station. I'm Asma, and Masume is with me, and we're having a very interesting and lovely discussion about the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam. So it has been mentioned in all the narrations that we already talked about it, that he is the loved one by God, and he is very special to God because he is the one through his direction, the entire humanity is going to be actually blessed and is going to experience kindness, the ultimate version of kindness. And he actually, when we read the narrations and when we hear the recitation of all these narrations that tell us that in the day of judgment, the Prophet, he himself is going to pick his people, like his nation, and he has asked God, let me be the one who's going to be an account of my own nation. So this much of responsibility and this much of kindness, and the fact that he calls himself the father of us,
it's just
he and Imam Ali alayhi salam being the fathers of the ummah, of the nation, this is very interesting. And we all have this link and bond to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, and specifically the Prophet, as our fathers, as the ones we trust, like the way we trust our fathers. And we even expect more from them because we know that they are that much trustworthy.
And also we have in Holy Quran, in Surah Qalam, that, and indeed you are of a great moral character.
Yeah.
This is just enough for us.
The confession done by the Holy Book of Quran.
It is just the last thing that we needed. And when we look deep, you know, back then, I'm sure even today, nowadays, people are not very nice to their families. I might be very nice to you, but I might be a very bad-tempered person at home.
Unfortunately.
And it is very special that he changed this in the society. Mm-hmm. How he treated his family.
Yeah.
How he treated women of his family. With respect and love.
And interestingly, at a time where people were just degrading girls, the Prophet comes and his entire progeny starts from his daughter.
Yes, beautiful.
So it goes against the current of society back in time, where people were so disrespectful toward girls. He not only came to actually stand up for women's right at a time when people did not recognize even women.
As
much
human.
Much less their rights. He came and he reinforced their respect. He actually confirmed that it must be so that you must be treating women with too much of respect. Not only he did that, but also his entire family is going to actually start from his daughter.
And that is very unique, because even nowadays some people think that we're just gonna be, you know, successful if we have boys.
Yeah.
While we know that the truth has been told to us even so much back then.
Exactly.
It's just very beautiful.
At a time where people did not have any perception of women, right?
Yeah, we're not talking about nowadays, just for the matter of the,
you know,
clarity.
We're talking about dark ages.
Yes, dark ages. Very dark. Very dark. And yet he, you know...
An open-minded prophet comes. And then he tells them that, okay, she is a human being just like you. And the only thing that might prioritize you two to each other is your piety.
Piety, indeed.
And that's the only thing. So this is a great change. It's a drastic change.
Yes.
And not just this. He practices kindness with even his enemies, as you just rightly mentioned. And then him being so honest. This is another story to talk about.
A slobber.
His honesty is something else.
It's just when the time when people would lie like it's nothing, honesty is just very, very hard.
Nowadays, if I'm talking about us ordinary people, like if somebody comes to me and accuses me of something that is not right, what would I do?
Get angry, probably?
Get angry and then not forget about it. And then maybe I even get into too much of problems with them. And then if... the situation comes for me to make it up for them, I would.
Yes.
I definitely would. So, but then, what about the prophet?
They would call him magician.
They would accuse him of different kind of bad things and attribute
stuff
to him. But what he did was to be so kind to him. And even his grandsons were just like him. No matter how much people accused them... But at the end of the day, when they came to these very honorable creatures of God, what they got was all kindness.
Yes.
They never retaliated. They never made it up for them. And they never accused them of the real thing they were of it.
And also, you know, in society back then, they were very rude to servants and orphans. And our prophet, subhanAllah, he was very kind to orphans and he always took care of them.
Yeah.
And he was very nice to servants. So maybe if I was, you know, in back then, it would be very hard for me to respect a servant.
Exactly.
While I am such, you know, a noble person.
Because they were wealthy.
Yes.
The ones who had servants, they were wealthy. And they saw themselves at the
superior.
Very high level of the world. So
he changed norms. He changed the norms. And it sounds very easy to say he changed the norms, but when we think, it's very
hard. Because look at today.
Yes.
Is it easy to break all the norms?
Although, right now, we see that, now it's a little modern era, people are a little more educated. Yet, it's hard to break the norms. And he, in that, you know, short life that we can say he changed a lot. He changed the world into a lot better place.
Well, the more we talk about it, the more details would pop up in our mind, and I guess one episode of Youth Station is not going to do the respect and loyalty to talk about all the details of the prophet, but this is just this is just done to make you think about him, because even on a daily basis, if you think of the prophet and you just mention his name, that would bring happiness and blessings into your lives. So I would end today's episode with this words that his fragrance lingered in the streets of Medina. May ours linger in the lives of those we touch. So this was all for today. I hope you have enjoyed it. Until another episode of Youth Station. Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings, be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran.
Thank you for joining us. Hebrew media focused on the repercussions of international recognition of the Palestinian state on the occupation entity and the ongoing war on Gaza City. Also on the agenda was escalation with Egypt in light of Zionist claims that Egypt is reinforcing its army in Sinai. We will discuss these topics and more in this episode with Dr. Mohsen Saleh, President of the International Association of Political Experts, joining us here in the studio. Hello and welcome, Dr. Mohsen. It's always nice having you with us.
To the audience. Thank you.
The repercussions of the international recognitions of the Palestinian state continue to weigh heavily on the Israeli entity. Some place the blame on Netanyahu and his administration with accusations of pursuing a policy of tyranny of power. To begin with, do you think that these recognitions are placing at one point or another Netanyahu's administration in a way that they are undermining their own state?
Yes, actually, we can say that the acknowledgement, the recognition of the Palestinian state would be a stumbling block for the Israeli aspiration, or as Netanyahu said, his message as a spiritual leader and political leader and strategist would prevent the Israelis from continuing these policies because the Europeans now, most of them, all of them, and the non-European states also in the world might acknowledge this state. That would prevent their administration from continuing their war against Gaza, continuing their sovereignty on the West Bank, and will stop their plans. And Trump's plans, by the way, not only Netanyahu's, but also Trump's plans in the West Bank.
But United States support to Israel is not enough for it to continue.
I guess most of the world will play a new role in the Middle East against these policies, although Trump and Netanyahu are coordinating a new plans for the Palestinian territories and also in the Middle East. And Barak and others who talked about new Middle East and Netanyahu would find policies from the Europeans and from the Arabs, especially after the hit and strike against Qatar. Now also the Saudis are leading, and the Gulf, who were coordinating new policies towards naturalizations and other steps towards positivism for Israel. Now they have really a stumbling block and also difficulties in continuing their policies, which were not obliged or pressed by Trump.
Okay, so what's going to happen?
We have a new phase. What's going to happen is that the Europeans and others will open new embassies for the Palestinian state, and in spite of all what we can say, that there is no Palestinian state because the Israelis are occupying Gaza and the West Bank and most of them, and building new settlements in the West Bank, but also we will find a political body for the Palestinians in the world that would lead to a kind of recognition of the self first for the Palestinians, that they have state, they have identity, but they have to have a land. So they have to have Gaza and they have to have the West Bank. That would lead to new laws in the international law, that because these countries, China,
yes,
Russia, and Europe, most of the Europe, Australia, I was really surprised that the Australians and other countries,
okay,
Canada, and
yes,
who acknowledged this state.
Okay.
I guess we have a new way of dealing with this issue, the Palestinian
okay
issue, with the resistance.
We have to realize the resistance. However, the suffering of soldiers in the Gaza Strip exceeds their ability to endure after two consecutive years of war in Gaza and other fronts. This led to a shortage in the number of soldiers due to some refusing to return to Gaza, especially reservists. Do you think that Israel is facing a severe crisis in terms of manpower, Doctor?
Yes, absolutely. Especially the Haredim are not going for the army and for the training. And also, most of these people who are committing suicide and refusing the orders to go to the war in Gaza, after what they have seen of the insistence of the Palestinians to fight till the end, because I guess the Palestinians, they have no other way. But for those who are occupying and killing and shooting against the children and the women and the elderly and the people who are in famine, I guess we have also a new stage, time for the Israelis, that they are decaying. As John Mersheimer said, he said it clearly, that Israel is Netanyahu is leading Israel to decadence, to degeneration, to a way that they can't understand what is going on. That's why they describe Netanyahu as a new dictator in Israel, leading Israel to the abyss, to nowhere. They don't know no strategy, as they have said in the first report, no strategy, no political vision, no nothing, in spite of their saying that a new Israel or a greater Israel. There is no greater Israel,
yes,
especially now after what has happened in the region and the insistence of the peoples of the region to fight till
okay,
the
but
end.
Netanyahu now is advertising that this war will enter a new year. promoting yeah. for the Jewish year, and speaking about Daiki. Super Sparter. How can he pursue this such a plan if he lacks enough manpower?
Sparta was negative or anti-Athens. No Alexander, Netanyahu, not an Alexander. Netanyahu has no piece of land to have this war society. And he is in a world, in the Arab world, in the Islamic world, in the what they call civilized world. Yesterday, one of the parliament speaker in Spain said that if the values of the West that Netanyahu claim that he is implementing in the region, they don't want these values. The values of killing, values of massacring people, values of cutting the children, slaughtering the people. Most of these values have been unveiled.
Okay, but how?
And when we talk about Israel now, we talk about a scandal.
Okay, despite your own analysis, Dr. Mohsen, meanwhile, some commentators on Israeli social media encouraged the continuation of the war on Gaza by recalling Al-Aqsa flood operation.
Yes, Mazmit. On October 7, when many people were kidnapped, I never imagined 2 full years would pass without them returning. How many stories has that madman Netanyahu told us? How many lies has he fed us? And yet the captives are still in Gaza. The guy from T. The fighting in Gaza is like beating a carpet. Dust will always come out with every strike. The residents of Gaza have nowhere to go, so Hamas will remain among the population. Gael, the most important thing is to eliminate Hamas and open Gaza for immigration. This is more important now than the issue of the captives with Hamas. Because if Hezbollah had joined on October 7, Israel today would be under the control of Hamas and Hezbollah. Tens of thousands of Israelis would have been sold as slaves throughout the Middle East, and thousands of Hamas elite fighters would be roaming the streets of Tel Aviv today. Wake up, Israelis.
Well, after the aggression against Qatar, all efforts to reach a deal were completely paralyzed. The reason is that both the Qatari and Egyptian mediators so far refused to resume their efforts, and because of the absence of any alternative Israeli proposals to one it toppled after its aggression on Doha. Does Netanyahu really want to return to negotiations and seek the return of Qatari mediators, in your opinion?
Well, you have to see Trump. You have to see the political thinking of Trump. Yesterday he met some of the Arab leaders, and I don't know what has happened in that meeting, but I guess the Arabs now for new negotiations in terms of their power. Well, I don't mean the military power. I mean after the attack on Qatar, now they have this pretext, this cause, this incentive to say no to the Netanyahu's political agenda in Gaza. And the way he wants to stay in Gaza and appoint a new government in Gaza would not lead to any kind of success, especially now even Trump, he feels that the situation now in Gaza is not going the way he wanted as a piece of land.
But do you think that could the Arabs be able to put a certain kind of pressure on Trump to force Netanyahu for a ceasefire or return
otherwise,
to negotiations?
Otherwise, they have mediations. To think about the dangerous situation after what might Netanyahu do in Gaza, and concerning especially the greater Israel and the situation in Syria and in Egypt and in the Gulf, in Lebanon, in the West Bank. So we are talking about a mass chaos in that region,
okay.
if they go along with what Netanyahu wants.
Moving to a very important subject, to Egypt, where the Hebrew media appears to be waging a systematic campaign against Cairo, which began after President Sisi's speech at the Doha summit, in which, of course, he described the entity as the Israeli enemy. In more recent development, Egypt is set to be reinforcing its army at the Sinai borders. Do you think that Egypt is really moving to reinforce its forces in Sinai? And why would it do that at this time?
Well, they are afraid from the Netanyahu's plans about Israel, greater Israel, that Sinai is one of the
But there are treaties that are signed.
This treaty,
that,
what?
At one point, the duty of this treaty, which is to preserve power.
Especially Netanyahu.
Power.
Netanyahu
security.
Never committed himself or his cabinet to any treaty, to any law, to any human law, to any political law, to any treaty in Egypt, in Egypt and in Philadelphia, as is a proof, an evidence for that, an evidence. Also in Syria.
So why
also
are they reinforcing
we are
forces
talking,
now?
We are talking about MS, a chaos, mixing all these strategies in the region, and the Egyptians, they have the right to build a new strategy to confront Netanyahu's way of thinking towards this Sinai and the West Bank and Gaza, and he knows, Sisi knows, and the Egyptian, especially the army in Egypt, want to protect the borders of Egypt, so they have to prepare or to be prepared for any new escalation from Netanyahu, and that's what they are doing on the borders in their land. So why Israel or Netanyahu or the army, the Israeli army, are making all this fuss because of this situation? I think they are wrong or preparing something against Egypt, as they have prepared something against Qatar. So now the Egyptians calculate things in a different manner, especially when they refuse to accept the people from Gaza to go to cross into Sinai and into Al-Arish or any place of
How
important
is this giving Egypt's weight in the region?
Well, Egypt has this weight, but they have to embody it, to represent it, to manifest it to the people and say, we are here. Unless they take responsible decisions in order to curb these greediness of Netanyahu, the Egyptians will not be respected. And that's what Netanyahu tried to do. But now the Egyptians have felt that all the world is against Israel, acknowledging, recognizing a Palestinian state, recognizing the situation in Gaza, in all the parliaments of the world. They have to think, they have to get something from this, to not to win, but at least to be responsible about their borders and about their people and about the emotions and the feelings
yes.
of the Egyptians and the Arabs.
Okay.
They have a place, but they have to keep it, to preserve it, to enforce it, to make it solid and represent it to the world. Well, that was probably a good step from Assisi not to go and interview or meet Trump. That was, of course, he was
yes.
afraid from the pressure of Trump, but I guess not going to meet Trump is a positive
step okay.
towards
moving to the war with Iran. The Hebrew media revealed that that before the war, Trump offered to hand over to the Zionists Air Force B-2 fighter jets to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. This was confirmation that Trump was a partner in the decision to launch war on Iran. What's the message behind the Hebrew media actually revealing this information now and saying that Trump carried out the strike on Iran on the behalf of the Israeli entity and advertising for that?
Well, they want to make a kind of share for Trump in this operation, and Trump declared it clearly when he said that without my decision, without my participation, and Iran could have destroyed Israel in 3 days. Well, that was great. And Netanyahu now is saying, well, you gave us the bombs, the Air Force, and we did not accept that to go alone,
mm-hmm.
but along with the Americans. We don't go for such a dangerous situation, dangerous step towards Iran without the United States, because you know that, well, the Saudis and the Gulf state, they have said to the Americans, don't go and bomb Iran. And they want to go together, Netanyahu and Trump, and they share the responsibility against Iran. And every day, Trump is making a statement against Iran and against Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And the leader, the Imam Khamenei, said it clearly, we can't go according to your orders in order to sign what you want. We have interests, we have our dignity, we have our honor, and we are not going for that. So they are really hanged there. They are suspended there. Now the Americans and the Israelis, they don't know. Although they make threats every day against Iran, but I guess they are fearful of any step against Iran after Iran launched many missiles as an experiment. And also because of maneuvers,
yes.
Well, they have experienced this. In addition to what the Chinese and the Russians, they have
told the
Americans.
So there will not be any new war in Iran, Dr. Mohsen.
I won't say there is any close, or we are close to any new initiation of aggression against Iran. I would say they would have to finish the situation in Gaza and Lebanon, although, and in Syria, although the only simple place after the coup d'etat, or the what they call the change of the regime in Syria, they are having this an easy situation in Syria, not in Lebanon,
mm-hmm.
nor in Gaza, neither in any place, neither in the West Bank. So they have great problems before they finish the situation or go to peace. As Barak said it clearly, there will be no peace. Neither was there, nor will be, and the situation is going under the threat of the Israelis, and the Israelis now in a great dilemma inside, in terminal situation, the political situation inside this occupation, and also outside.
Okay.
We see in Lebanon the situation is not very dangerous, especially internally, nor in the West Bank and Gaza, in spite of all these massacres against the Gazans, but they insist to continue their fight against the Israelis. So I guess the situation for the resistance is much, well, let's to say, hopeful and optimistic.
Dr. Mohsen Saleh, President of the International Association of Political Experts, thank you very much for your analysis and thank you for joining us.
Allah 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 Ya Rabbi Allah Allah Ya Rabbi Allah Allah Allah
as a light that still shines from the faces of those near. In the night they will stand and cry in hope and in fear. Nothing in the world can ever turn their hearts away from the calm of surrender they find when they say,
قضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to our program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about different Quranic verses and Islamic teachings pertaining to humanity and human beings. And in the previous episodes, we ended up talking about the destiny of humanity, which is according to the verses of the Holy Quran, the Day of Judgment. And we said this Day of Judgment is different from similar concepts in other religions. And we ended up talking about how the belief in the Day of Judgment is rooted in the innate nature of human beings. As long as they don't cover it up, as long as they don't forget it, as long as they don't bury it on their different desires and negligence. Now, one other thing that attention to one's fitrah, one's innate nature, there's a benefit. We said there are different benefits of paying attention to our own innate nature, the call that we find within our heart. Is one other benefit of it is that it gives us strength. Now, when everything is in accordance with the way that it was meant to be, human beings, they were created with an innate nature. That innate nature within itself had the belief in the Day of Judgment, in the continuity of life. Now, if everything goes according
to the original creation, original way of things, then we can expect some positive outcome. One of these positive outcomes is the strength that is gained after one reminds himself or herself of the Day of Judgment. Now, according to this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. This is in the context of a battle between the forces of Bani Israel, David and Talut, and on the other side we have Jalut. So then they had a situation in which the number of the people who were God-worshipping, who were on the side of truth, so their number is very few, and they didn't, some of them started having doubts that, we are doomed, this is a lost battle. Some Quran says some of those people, some of the people in the army of Banu Israel, who had this, the distinction that they had, the characteristic that they had, and their fellow warriors, they didn't have that. This characteristic was that they had the belief in the Day of Judgment. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ. Those who had the belief in their encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the belief that one day we're going to encounter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someday we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this has some effect. And the effect is that they were stronger. They reminded their friends that كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلًا, how many times that there are fewer people that are stronger than more people, many people. So this is one aspect of the remembrance of the Day of Judgment, which is a part of our innate nature. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to our program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the positive outcomes and the positive consequences of remembering the Day of Judgment. And we said that one of them is that people who have this picture of future in front of themselves, people who don't forget this greater picture of someday meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not fail in different tribulations of life. And people who don't have this, it's very easy for them to fail and to lose hope, to fall short. Why? Because this is, I was trying to have something from this materialistic world and I'm not having it, and there is no prospect in future for me, and then well, they lose hope and they despair. But Quran says no, those who have this picture in front of themselves, this gives them a strength and this enables them to follow their pursuit, follow their goal with amplified motivation. And again, Quran keeps everything at balance. This strength does not bring with itself conceit and arrogance. How? Because belief, a correct belief in the Day of Judgment, brings with itself also a kind of humility. This is very important. We have some people who believe in the Day of Judgment, but this belief in the Day of Judgment would bring for them arrogance. For example, there is a verse in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Kahf that a person said that even if there was a discussion between some people over the garden that they had, and some of them said that وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْغَلَبًا, said, you know what, I'm being blessed in this dunya, in this life, and
even if I go to the other realm, in the second coming or whatever, then I will be even more blessed. So this was his picture, that even the belief in the Day of Judgment would not humiliate him. This is not the correct belief. Remember, we said it's not just a matter of belief, it's a matter of what you believe in. If you believe in a God that is your friend and enables you to do whatever you want to do, then this is not the correct belief. And Quran says clearly about some followers of some religions that they would believe that they are friends with Allah. They are children of Allah. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish them. Quran says no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to encounter and deal with everyone according to justice. So this is not, because atheists mainly, they put all kinds of belief in one bag. Some of them are superstitious, some of them are wrong, some of them are distortion. And they said, okay, dismiss all of this. And it's only, it's a dichotomy. Either you have faith, and this faith is a full set of different distortions and superstitious belief and things that even Quran rejects. And or either you have that, or you are in our camp, that is the camp of atheism. No, Quran says there is the other way, and that is to have the correct belief. What's the correct belief? The correct belief has signs that a person with a reasonable level of understanding can see, that if a person believes that, yes, I am the favorite creature of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me free to do whatever I want, and I'm an exception and everything, no, this is a wrong belief. This cannot be true, because it does not come along with the sense of justice that we have in our heart. So Quran says the belief in the Day of Judgment brings strength, but also it brings humility. This is very important. And inshallah, in the next episode, we're going to go over the verses of the Holy Quran to talk about this balanced view. Those who have faith in the Day of Judgment, they are humble. And this is the result of the remembrance of the Day of Judgment. They don't seek dominance. They don't seek superiority to others. We inshallah discuss these discussions in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala ar-rasul wa ali an-nabi al-azim. We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, Iran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran. In total, 25 prophets are mentioned in the Holy Quran in different surahs. Prophet Moses, or Musa in Arabic, peace be upon him, is mentioned 136 times in the Holy Quran, making him the most mentioned prophet of all in the Holy Book of Allah. The literal meaning of the word Quran is "the which is being read." The word Quran is repeated 70 times in the Book of Allah itself. The month of Ramadan is the only month of the year mentioned in the Holy Quran in verse 185 of Chapter Al-Baqarah, second chapter. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And our final program this hour is Leader's Speech. The program presents an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches of the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The Israeli military has killed more Palestinians in Gaza as the genocidal war continues unabated. At the UN General Assembly, Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian made his speech with a sharp condemnation of Israel. And the White House Budget Office has told agencies to prepare plans for mass firings in the event of a government shutdown. Hello and welcome, everybody, here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News. Our top story, the Israeli military has killed more Palestinians in Gaza as the genocidal war continues unabated. 17 Palestinians were killed by Israeli airstrikes and gunfire since the early hours of Thursday in their latest attack in Khan Yunis. Four Palestinians were killed and many others wounded when Israeli warplanes struck a home near the Jordanian Field Hospital west of the city. Additionally, a civilian was killed east of Khan Yunis in a targeted strike by an Israeli drone. The Israeli military's air and artillery bombardments have also impacted the southern regions of Gaza City, which continues to endure intense military operations. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide since October 2023 has exceeded 65,400, with over 170,000 others injured. More countries are deploying their naval vessels to help the Gaza-bound aid flotilla known as the Global Samud Flotilla sail safely toward the besieged Palestinian territory. Following suit with Italy, Spain has become the second country to send a military warship to protect the humanitarian mission.
The right of our citizens to navigate the Mediterranean Sea in safe conditions should be respected. That is why I inform you that tomorrow a maritime action ship will set sail from Cartagena, equipped with all the essential resources in case it becomes necessary to assist the flotilla or carry out a rescue.
Sanchez said Spain and 14 other countries have informed Israeli Prime